to the Creative Pen Podcasts. I'm Joanna Penn, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options, internet sales and promotion for your book. The companion website is www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and today I'm here with Mark Edwards. Mark is the co-author of the Amazon best-selling thriller novels Killing Cupid and Catch Your Death with Louise Voss. Although the books were originally self-published, Mark and Louise have signed with HarperCollins as a result of their success. So welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on the show.
Yeah, great to be here.
So I wonder, you know, for those people who might not have heard of you, can you explain a bit more about your writing background and your kind of roller coaster publishing journey?
Have you got a few hours? Is
that... No, the shortened version.
Okay, so I have to kind of imagine a spinning clock and calendar leaves flying. I started writing probably about, it must have been almost 20 years ago when I left university, back in the 90s, and I got an agent quite quickly at that time, and then she was never able to sell any of my books, and in around 1999, I think it was, I was featured on a documentary on BBC Two about aspiring writers, and from that, I was contacted by somebody called Louise Voss, who was in exactly the same situation as me. She had an agent, hadn't got a deal yet, and we became kind of like pen pals, as you'd call them in the old days. And we didn't actually meet for about 2 years. And then when we did meet, and then she got a book deal with, quite a big book deal with Transworld, and Simon & Schuster in the US. And published four books with them. And about kind of halfway through her contract when she was writing these books and I was still struggling and trying to get a deal, we came up with the idea of writing a novel together, which was Killing Cupid. We wanted to write a stalker novel which is told from the point of view of the male and female protagonists. We wrote that. Her then editor didn't like it. Her agent wasn't particularly keen. They didn't, because she wasn't a thriller writer, and they didn't really want her writing out of her genre.
Yeah,
the kind of usual story. But we did sell it to the BBC. We got it optioned for a BBC drama, which never got made. This is a long tale of woe. And everyone kept saying, "Oh, it's a little bit of a." It's a bit of a thriller, it's a bit of a comedy, it's a bit of a dark romance, it doesn't fit very neatly into a genre, and that was the feedback we got from publishers. So then we wrote another book called Catch Your Death, which was a more straightforward conspiracy thriller with a deadly virus at its heart. And by this point, Louise had lost her book deal, she didn't have an agent anymore. And we set about trying to find an agent for Catch Your Death. We sent it to a few people. We got some quite good feedback, but nobody wanted to take us on. And then we just gave up. I mean, this was in, I think, 2006. And I had quite a good job by this point, which I enjoyed. And it took all my energy up. And I had starting to have kids. And I was just sick of all the rejection and all the kind, all the no's and all the... people, I felt quite emotionally drained by the whole thing. I'd been trying for so long and I just thought, I just can't take this anymore. And when we both just gave up. And then about 5 years passed, 4 or 5 years passed, until 2010, I started reading about Kindle direct publishing, and I think I read some articles about, I think Amanda Hocking was just starting to take off, but... there was a few other people, and I said to Louise, "Why don't we just get dust off our old manuscripts and put them on Amazon and what have we got to lose? She was very reluctant. She was like, oh, we'll sell two copies. It'll be humiliating and it's not worth the effort. But I managed, I persuaded her. We then spent a few months editing them because they were so out of date. Nobody had a cell phone. Nobody had broadband. It was they were really out of date. And so we edited them. We improved them. My sister-in-law designed covers for us for free, which was great. Really, really good. I found a picture on iStock Photo, quite an eye-catching image of a woman lying on her back with a gun. Got a slightly scantily clad, which I thought would grab people's attention when they saw it on the shop. Because I work in marketing.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So I kind of for a publisher, in fact, not a book publisher, but an information publisher. So I kind of knew what you should do to try and get attention. Published Killing Cupid in February 2011. I think we sold two copies on day one to my mother-in-law and my boss. And then over the next few months, things started to happen. Killing Cupid just started to creep up the chart slowly, slowly, slowly. By the end of April, it just kind of got into the top 200. It took another couple of weeks. It got into the top 100. It took ages. It sat at about number 105, 110 for ages. It was really frustrating because we thought it's never good. This is on Amazon.co.uk, by the way, because we've sold very few on Amazon.com. And then we released Catch Your Death at the beginning of May, and it just took off really fast. Within 2 weeks, it went into the top 100. And I woke up on a Saturday morning, this was at the beginning of June, and I think it was about number 150, 160 or something. And by the end of the day, it was number 11. It just shot up the charts within a day.
Mm.
And 2 days later, it got to number one. And it was just the most amazing, amazing feeling to, after all these years, to actually be selling some books, and we were getting some really good reviews as well, and it felt like a bit of a vindication actually of all those years of trying. Sorry, this is a really long story.
No, this is fast. This is really good. You're telling the story in like a really good way.
Okay, so so we were number one, and Killing Cupid went up to number two. So we were number one and two on Amazon.co.uk, and we started to think, well, maybe we should actually try and find an agent, because really we always wanted a traditional book deal, because that's kind of what we'd been trying to do for years, was to get a book in the shops. And so we knew a few writers. I mean, we'd been networking with lots of writers. Stephen Leather, who's
the
biggest British, he's traditionally published, but he self-publishes as well, and now he's published by Amazon. He was incredibly helpful. He gave us the name of his agent. A few other people like said, oh, why don't you contact my agent? And then actually we ended up getting an email from somebody who we had originally submitted Catch of Death to back in 2006, and he said, oh, I think I might have been too hasty in telling you that. Although he just had twin babies and he was too busy to take on any new authors, that was his excuse anyway. And and we met up with him the next morning, and he was so enthusiastic. He said, I want to get this out to publishers straight away, like while you're still number one, because that's going to really help kind of open the doors and make the editors look at it like quickly. So we signed up with him the next day, and within a week we had an offer from HarperCollins, like a preemptive bid, because he'd sent it out to I think about 10 or 11 publishers. They came in with a six-figure offer. We turned the first offer down.
Oh,
nerve-wracking day of my life.
Oh my goodness.
Because
balls of steel.
I know. Well, I said to our agent, is there any chance that it could go wrong and they'll just like withdraw the offer completely? And he was like, well, no, they won't do that. They might not increase it, but they won't
withdraw it.
Be very unusual if they withdrew it. And they did. They increased it a little bit, and then we accepted. I couldn't take any more of the stress and the tension. And yeah, and that was it. So that was last July, I think, that we signed the deal with them, the full book deal. It's quite an intense deal, actually, because the first they published. So the first two books in paperback, and then were the original two, Catch a Death and Killing Cupid, and then we had a contract to write two more, and it's that they're publishing two a year, so we have like 6 months for each book, so it's pretty intense. So just the final thing is that Catch a Death came out in paperback in the UK in January, in paperback and ebook, and it's done okay. I mean, it hasn't set the world alight. It went top 10 on Apple, on iTunes. It went top 10 on Google Play as well. So it's continued to do well as an ebook, and the paperback was Read of the Week in WH Smith, which is for your American viewers, that's the big book chain in the UK, and Killing Cupid comes out in August, and again, it's already out as an ebook under HarperCollins, but it comes out as a physical version on the 2nd of August. So, and then, yeah, it has been really, really exciting.
It's brilliant. It's such a lovely story, because you are the classic kind of 12-year overnight success, aren't you? Yeah,
it's taken me 12 years to be an overnight success.
But that's really good for people listening, because you have done the kind of dream thing. You've, you know, hit number one, got the big deal, got the 6+ figures. But yet you have been working really hard on this, your writing, for years and years. So I have, you know, a few questions, while we're on that. So you the books did massively well. You also mentioned that you're a marketing guy already. What do you think you guys did that other books that may be just as good as yours? And I'm reading Catch Your Death. It's a great book. It's a thriller, but it's not like it, you know, there are other good thrillers as well that are not doing as well as those books have. So what do you think you guys did? You mentioned the book cover. What else?
Yeah, well, I think there are a few things. I mean, the book cover was very important, and having a striking image that tells the reader immediately. It has to look really good as a thumbnail, and then the blurb is very important. And I'm a copywriter, so that's one of the things that I do. So I wrote the blurbs, and I continually tweaked them. In fact, Killing Cupid, I said it was sitting outside the top 100 for ages, and I studied all the books that are in the top 10 and tried and looked at their blurbs to try and work out what it was about them that set them apart. And I rewrote, having done that, I then rewrote the blurb for Killing Cupid, and sales literally doubled within an hour.
Wow.
Just from rewriting the blurb, because originally it wasn't quite straightforward enough. It was a little bit confused, and I tried to cram too much in. And actually, the best blurb is one that just tells a bit about the story, because we had all this stuff in there, stuff about us, and people aren't really interested in that. They just want to know what the story is. So there was that, and we did something quite controversial with our subtitles.
Yes.
So Killing Cupid, we published as Killing Cupid, originally it just said a psychological thriller, and then I kind of played around with that a little bit. I think in the end it said something like the gripping psychological thriller. And I think that probably helped, because people searching for psychological thriller, it's more likely to come up. And also, people see it. When people see it on those also bought bars, it tells them a little bit about what the book's about.
I wondered if Amazon, because Amazon have changed the rules on that now. Have you seen? It says on the title box, you can only use the book title in here, not a description in brackets about the type of book. And I immediately thought of you guys.
Well, yeah, we caused a lot of controversy over that. We had like the British newspapers running articles about it.
Yeah.
It was quite a big story. And Stephen Leather, he copied us. He wrote an article about it, and then he basically did the same, and he retitled The Basement something like The Gripping Serial Killer Thriller with a Breathtaking Twist or something like that, and fair play to him. I mean, it helped him shoot back up the charts, and he sold a lot more books than us.
But just so everyone listening knows, Amazon now have something against that, so I don't know if anyone's penalised.
There are still some books. There's a book in the top 10 on the UK at the moment which has... in brackets, a laugh out loud romantic comedy.
Oh, there you go.
So some people still get, and actually I was looking on Amazon at, earlier, and I was laughing at some of the book titles, because let me just read you one.
Yeah.
It's funny. If I can just go on to Amazon. So this is the book that's currently number 24 in the UK. It's called Slave Girl. I was an ordinary British girl. I was kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. This is my horrific true story. That's the title. There's another one here. The Tea Planter's Daughter, a wonderfully moving story of courage and enduring love, one of the Tyneside sagas. So people are still getting around.
People are still doing it. Damn, I might have to do that.
Yeah. And then the other thing that we did, which was really controversial, was we put in brackets Catch Your Death for fans of Dan Brown and Stieg Larsson. And that was the thing that really got...
Right, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
...backed up. But I don't know how... I did it because I thought, I just wanted to see if it made any difference. And I don't know if anyone else had done it before or whether I was being wholly original, I'm not sure. But if you search for Dan Brown or Stieg Larsson on Amazon, or if you did at the time when we were around, we weren't anywhere on the top like 4 or 5 pages. You had all of
Dan Brown's,
all of their books, yeah. And I do question. People said, oh, that's the reason he got to number one, because they did that. But I don't think that's true. I think what really happened was this, that Killing Cupid was, like I said, it had a very, very slow climb up the charts. And at the beginning of May, as soon as we published Catch Your Death, we put some big ads for Catch Your Death inside Killing Cupid. So... right at the beginning and at the end. So anyone buying Killing Cupid would know that we had another book out there as well. And because this happened at exactly the same time that Killing Cupid broke into the top 100 and then actually climbed up into like the top 40, I think what happened was that a lot of people who'd read Killing Cupid all bought Catch Your Death at the same time because they'd liked it and they'd seen the ads in the book. And that's how it works on Amazon, as you know. If you sell a couple of hundred in a day, then that's going to send you shooting up the charts. Mm. If you sell 200 over a month, I mean, that doesn't hardly do anything. Mm. So it was the fact, I think, that we sold a lot straight away. And as soon as we were in the top 100, people saw, maybe at that point they saw the brackets and saw the Dan Brown, Stieg Larsson thing, and that kind of made them think, oh, maybe that sounds interesting. Although a lot of people hate Dan Brown, so I'm sure it put off as many people as it, in fact, I know for a fact it put a lot of people off, because I've seen people talking about it in forums saying, oh, I'd never read anything that was anything like Dan Brown, because he's my least favourite writer, so I'm sure it put a lot of people off as well.
But I think for people, you know, I think what you said mentioned about copywriting and the blurb, I think that's more important. And it, you know, we know that metadata is really critical, and you were basically changing the words that Amazon was reading. So that's something that I'm going to go check out your blurb again and have a look at it, because I think everyone can do that.
Yeah, the old ones, the new, the ones that are currently on Amazon were written by HarperCollins.
Oh no!
So the old ones aren't there anymore. Although, if you look on the harpercollins.co.uk site and look for Catch Your Death, they actually have used our old blurb on their site, but they haven't used it on Amazon.
Oh.
So, I mean, it started, imagine if Dan Brown, Stieg Larsson and Michael Crichton sat down together to write a fast-paced conspiracy thriller set in the English countryside and featuring a deadly virus, rogue assassins and a beautiful but vulnerable Harvard professor. They'll memorise the first paragraph, and I think that people, that was a really good paragraph, and people, even if I do say so myself.
That's awesome, and you've got me, and I absolutely.
And
HarperCollins have ditched it.
Yeah, I think maybe they didn't want to use the comparisons to the other authors, I'm not sure, but lots of people do it. I mean, you see stickers on the front of books as good as...
Yeah, yeah, the next, so-and-so. No, yeah. I think that's great. So while we're on it, let's talk about this publishing thing, because clearly what you've just shown is that you, by signing this very big deal, you know, congrats and all that, you've basically lost control of the book. So you don't even own the blurb anymore. You can't change the price or the cover, and they get everything. So how do, you know, what do you think are the pros and cons of what you've done, and would you ever be indie again?
Well, okay, so I think there are probably three big advantages of being with a traditional publisher, and I'll answer the second part of your question in a moment, but first one is the editorial input that you get. We rewrote Catch Your Death quite a lot from the original version. So the HarperCollins version is quite different to the indie version, and I think it's a lot better. And that was partly because of editorial from our editor, and also because of the feedback that we've got from the readers of the first version. So we actually looked at our Amazon reviews. We ignored the crazy ones that said, oh, I didn't like this book because it had swearing in it.
And, yeah, I get those.
Yeah, we ignored those. But we thought there were a few recurrent themes and we thought, yeah, those people have got a fair point. I'm sure it's probably the first book that's ever been rewritten following Amazon reviews, I think. A traditional, a paperback anyway. We're writing our third book at the moment, and we're currently editing it. In fact, we've just had all of our editor's notes from the first draft, or the first kind of draft that we showed to them. And it's a lot of work, so a lot more work suddenly. But I think it's going to make it a much better book, because the things that she says, they make sense, and I think they're going to, that's what it's all about. It's about creating a great book at the end of the day, that's very important to us, and I think we can do it better with an editor than we could on our own. I know you can hire editors, and there are services out there, but for us, I think having an experienced editor who's worked with a lot of big authors.
It's definitely a plus.
So the second thing is, I've forgotten. No, it's actually being in bookshops. I mean, that's huge, because that's what you dream about when you're
12.
or even 21.
Or 31.
Yeah, you want your book in a bookshop, and you actually want to be able to go and see it on the shelves. And it is so thrilling when that happens. And actually, weirdly, the first time I saw my book in a shop, it was in a supermarket, and it didn't quite have the same... it wasn't how I'd imagined it.
I've seen it in WH Smith.
It was in Asda. It was a bit kind of soulless. But then I saw it in Smith's a few days later, so that was fine.
Asda's like Walmart, for those people listening.
Yeah, I think it's owned by Walmart, actually.
Third thing?
third thing, well, this is maybe slightly controversial, but the third thing is, people basically treat you a bit differently when you've got a deal, especially other published writers. They suddenly, it's like the doors open. I thought it's going to be like the doors open to this magical kingdom where you're a published author. It's not like that at all. But people are actually there is still a little bit of a stigma attached to some self-published writers, which I think is totally unfair. And I know a lot of great indie writers who are as good as people I know who've got book deals. And but kind of, I suppose it's everyone from like your family and friends to other writers and just people in the business, they kind of treat you a little bit differently. And so it kind of opens more doors of opportunity, I suppose. And you could never get a review in the press or anything as an indie. Not that we've had any reviews. there's that kind of kudos. And I think that it for me, having been trying for so long to do it, getting that acceptance, I suppose, was quite important to me. And but the second part of your question was, would we go back to indie writing? Well, we would. I would very happily do that. If things don't work out with HarperCollins, then yeah, I would go back and do it. And in fact, what I would, I've got my kind of backlist of books that I want to work on and get out there, and maybe I'll self-publish those, I'm not sure, and then have a foot in both camps. And Louise has already done that. All of her old books that she got the rights back to, she's republished. They're all on Amazon right now. So
clever girl.
Doing both, yeah. And I think that's what a lot of authors are going to do. It is nice having a traditional deal. I think the most important thing is that editorial input, because it's about writing better books, I think.
So in terms of people who are starting out now, and I mean, if people are going to an agent or a publisher with a first novel that hasn't done anything, they're in a kind of, they don't have any power, whereas you rejected a six-figure deal because you were a number one. Do you think people should therefore try and become successful indies before approaching traditional publishing?
I kind of think you haven't got anything to lose. Maybe the only thing you've got to lose would be if you did do something indie and it didn't sell. I suppose there is a bit of a risk in that way, because the publishers are going to say, how many have you sold and where did it get to in the charts and so on. And that's, so you might be actually, I suppose that's the risk, that you might actually be doing yourself a disservice, yeah. Or kind of hobnobbling yourself, I don't know what the word is. Oh God, terrible writer.
Hobbling yourself. Hobnobbling yourself is lovely.
Hobnobbling. You might hobnobble yourself.
It is quite late here, we should tell everybody. It is the evening.
I had a very long day and I was at a party last night. I had about 5 hours sleep, so that's my excuse. But I do think it is still worth going the traditional route. And actually a friend of mine has just written a book, and he's been asking me for advice. And this is actually what I said to him. He's a good writer and a good friend. And so I said to him, I think you should try and find a traditional deal first, like try and get an agent. And don't spend a year trying to find an agent. Do multiple submissions. They all say only send it to one agent at a time, but that's ridiculous. You just send it to all of them, all the ones that you think are going to be interested in it, because otherwise it will take forever, because they're so slow usually to get back. Try and find an agent, and if you get an agent, then they'll try and get you a deal. And if that doesn't work out, then self-publish it. And I think that's a good way to go. But yeah, the first thing is you've got to make sure that you've written something that you think is really good and professionally put together and not full of mistakes We self-published because we'd already had numerous rejections. We never actually tried to find a publisher for Catch a Death. We tried very half-heartedly to find an agent, but I think if I was starting out now, I would still try and go the traditional route first and then self-publish if that didn't work out.
Mm,
but not take forever, not spend years trying to find an agent. Spend 6 months or something, and then if it doesn't work out, then self-publish.
Fantastic. Well, that has been brilliant, Mark. You've shared so many cool things. I'm very excited. So where can people find you and your books online?
Well, both of the books, Killing Cupid and Catch a Death, are on Amazon. They're available in the UK and the US. Very cheap. I think it's $1.99 in the US and 99p in the UK at the moment on Kindle. And we've got a website which is vossandedwards.com. I'm also on Twitter at @MREdwards and on Facebook /vossandedwards. But if you go to our website or if you just look at our author profile on Amazon, then all the various details are on there.
Thank you ever so much for your time, Mark. That was great.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You can get more information on writing, publishing options, sales, and promotion for your book at www.thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And you can also get your free How to Be an Author workbook at www.howtobeanauthor.com. See you next time.